Figmentalism explained. First of all, don't get too hung up on a word. This explanation actually refers to a subject that has been called too many things to list. But the term figmentalist is the easiest to connect to the understanding and what it would be in other languages we'll have to explore. Science and religion have two different ways of explaining where we came from, and although some feel that you can combine those beliefs, you really cannot. By these two options, either the rocks created us or a god did, unless of course you imagine that God created the rocks. All of the available explanations could be proven by the use of semantics, but to be correct, but only if you allow a third perspective, that being figmentalism. Science insists that there is some form of intrinsic matter lurking beneath the surface of an atom and somehow indescribably within a string, in string theory. Regardless of what you might have heard or thought, no particle of matter has ever been found, and by the description that science uses, none could ever be found. Many cyclotrons, atom smashers, have been built to discover what matter really is, and not one discovery has yet occurred. It can be deduced from this that matter and energy are not separable, but then that throws the entirety of modern science into a cocked hat, and rightly so. Any descriptions of God figures usually are predominantly male, filled with wrath, and quite impossible to describe. You might as well face the facts on this one. We invented these ideas of religion and wrote them down, called them scriptures, and began to teach them and also believe them. Well, in a sense, they're true. The vast majority of people who wrote these things are males, tend, as humans seem to, towards violence, and created gods that could not be seen. We are the spirit. Learn these two things first and question them all you want, but understand that we are the only creator and we created God. We do not wish to worship ourselves or perhaps blame ourselves, but the spirit that you may appeal to in your prayers is the spirit of humanity and only that. Learn these mantras. We are the spirit and matter is energy. The latter one pales by comparison as anything close to a mantra. Yet, it can help you understand figmentalism, especially if you reverse it. Energy is matter, and think of matter as both material and concern. Now, with these two things out of the way, we have come to the point in our excursion where we have just departed from all of modern science and all of organized religion. How could one explain our origin without those two options? It would seem like an impossible task. But you can reverse the two things you have learned to create a bulletproof explanation very easily. We won't call this pure logic because, in the end, there can always be a question. But it is, however, the simplest logic that we are able to handle in our so-called brains. It's the fact that E equals M. Begins to give way to an understanding of another process that we have seldom looked at in thinking, and we'll find it very difficult to be able to think that way, even when it's understood. Think of this. Matter either exists or it does not. There is no third way. You may think that you can find a third way, but try to write it down and you'll see that it becomes very, very complicated, similar to modern-day atomic theory. I repeat that there is no third way. Either matter is something in and of itself and has been here all along and eventually created us, or it did not. Now here's the secret. Ask yourself which of those two assertions is the theory. The theory is that matter exists. So guess what that makes the other assertion right. Matter does not exist. And since the other is a theory, and only two possibilities can be considered, that's the simplest math there is. So how does this relate to where we actually came from? Without having a God to create us, and without being able to even be created out of some matter, Where do we stand on this whole reality thing? Well, we're not made of anything that we could ever comprehend, and the only thing we can know for sure is that the world seems very real to us. Well, we can employ a lesson we learned about what is theory, and what the opposite of it would be, namely not theory. This has become the study of non-theory, and spawns the concept of anti-theory. Take any theory and find its opposite, and you have the truth of the matter. Let's apply that to the question, where did we come from? Theory states X, Y, or Z, and anti-theory states we did not come from anywhere, we've been here all along, don't really have the ability to either move or change in any way, save perception. Now, if you're finding this all a bit of a stretch, don't give up. The process you have just embarked upon usually requires a mentor or lifelong teacher, and it's called enlightenment. As I said, Figmentalism has been around forever, and it's been taught forever, but ancient religions included moral issues within the teachings, and some of the true meaning has been lost. Also in America, the schools don't routinely teach the ancient Hindu Vedas or Buddhism to any except those that opt for such courses. But the teachings they do routinely sell, being that of mainstream science and mainstream religion, are of considerably less value. Enlightenment is mostly ignored by European and Western systems. And a shame, too, because we could be a lot better off than we are. We should say a lot better than we are, if we knew that we are all of a single entity and our individual nature is an illusion, as is everything else. Somehow, we collectively create the world we live in, and if you look at our physiology, you can see that this is quite true. Our so-called brains, or minds, have no way of recognizing reality or even testing it. We rely on our senses to do this, thereby insulating our brains from the truth. Examine your sleeping and waking conclusions. While sleeping, you do not realize that you create your surroundings and all you see, but when you awake, the same conditions occur, yet you have been convinced that this is somehow more real. Well, it isn't. The more recent Judeo-Christian and Islamic religions have unfortunately been badly manipulated in terms of the writing that they represent, and many books or passages have been left out or interpreted badly. This goes doubly for the older Eastern teachings, since they were all brought to translation by those with varying degrees of belief and understanding. If you have difficulty abandoning your religion, then do some research on it, and you will find that somewhere in all that evidence is the admission that all is illusory. And you are the only spirit that exists, and in fact, your own God. But don't let it go to your head, because you must share this crown with all of us, and that includes all the creatures and all the things as well. So, that's about it. Any question can easily be answered in this way, including the question of gravity or how big the universe actually is. It's all pretty obvious. You have no way of knowing if everything is real, or if it is there when you turn your head. So why jump to the conclusion that the ground upon which you stand is actually a massive globe when it seems to be an imaginary surface you can rely on, and only that? You will probably find it quite easy to think in this way of figmentalism for short periods of time until one of your friends come over, and then it gets more complex and not easy to resolve. Even those that know this operate in two ways and generally default to the official reality, that of matter and creation, in order to cope with life and on this seeming planet. The reason for this difficulty is that we operate as individuals and pretend not to be able to get into the heads of our friends or pets, and this is quite necessary to allow us the illusion of privacy, and very, very difficult to make to the realization that your friend is actually you, and what she or he thinks is no secret at all. Unfortunately, there is no explanation that we could possibly understand of what thought or memory is actually composed of. This is especially true when you know that our closest definition of this material would be nothing. Welcome to this place. We will study the laws of reality, which are 12 colloquial expressions that address the massive erroneous consensus that all is real and composed of matter, plus the science of the entity, which attempts to discover what we collectively actually are and our restrictions and abilities. Non-real entitic science is the ultimate in oxymorons and double positives and primarily an exercise for the mind, if not an explanation of why we aren't and are simultaneously. There is no religion in any of this, but it really does lead to a way of living and understanding that is more of a moral code and probably much better than any religion. If you wish to find these sentiments in philosophy, you might be hard-pressed to understand them, but they fall under the titles of solipsism and idealism, and were much maligned by religious leaders, government, and science throughout the years, even to the point that such talk has largely been illegal until just recently. So if you haven't heard of it before, it helps to realize that even Falun Gong is illegal, or marginally so, today in many places. Our educators will eventually teach figmentalism, and it will replace all other forms of thought, or perhaps just be the foundation of thought. But its rise is rampant, and this may be the true meaning of 2012.